as we welcome our friend Kelly Holland. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
We're glad to have you back. You're wearing a little bit of a different cap these days.
I am.
Why don't you give us a little overview of your former life and how you made your way to where you are now?
Sure. I spent 20-something years as a business and personal finance journalist. When we spoke last time, I was at CNBC writing about personal finance. What happened is the more I wrote about personal finance, the more I realized that women in particular face a lot of unique money challenges, from spending more time out of the workforce to, you know, the pay gap, to a lot of caregiving responsibilities, to kind of attitudes about investing. And I realized that I actually had the know-how to help women, but I needed to change how I did it instead of writing about it, you know, to more just more actively working with women. So I went out and got coach training. I now have a diploma in coaching from New York University, and I have my own coaching practice where I work with my clients to transform their relationship to money so they can realize their dreams. What we do is we identify goals, whether it's about retirement or debt or taking charge of your finances after a life change. And then we identify strengths that clients have that they can use to achieve those goals, and we map out action steps. And it's a very effective process. I've seen people make significant changes in as little as six sessions. It's a very exciting new undertaking for me.
Is this more about discipline and process and strategy? Do you actually stretch on into, financial planning, the investing side, that kind of thing?
I am not an investment advisor. What I do is I can help people get in a mindset where they can work effectively with their investment advisor. Mm-hmm. So, for example, say you're going through divorce and you're experiencing that deer in headlights feeling where, oh my God, I've never paid attention to our money. Now I have to take charge of this stuff. I don't know where anything is. I don't know how any of it works. I don't feel like I have a real relationship with my advisor. What do I do? Okay. A person like that could come to me and we would talk about what do you want to do, right? And what are the strengths that you possess in your own character that can help you do those things? And then what are some action steps that would help you get to those goals, right? And some of those action steps might be just getting a handle, say, on your finances. And then the client would be in a state where she'd be more ready to think about, you know, investment planning and just taking charge of her finances going forward with her investment advisor.
So let's move forward then from there. That's kind of all a little generic and general. I get it. I get the process. But let's just put that to the test a little bit. One of the things that might really test whether, I guess, a, quote, student or client of yours might be getting the point, might be moving forward, would be, of course, the holidays, which is a challenge to everyone, whether you have an enormous amount of money or whether you have a very small amount of money. Budgets come into play. Who do we buy? How much to buy? So give me a little overview of how I can celebrate the gift of giving without breaking the bank.
So one of the things about the holidays, and at least where I am up here in New Jersey, it's out there in force already, is just, you know, in the stores, through media, in magazines, you know, all the messages are coming out about how to have the ideal holiday, right? And implicit in that is that there's a right way to do it, right? You need the perfectly decorated home, you need the beautiful presents wrapped under the glistening tree, you need the elaborate feast and the perfectly set table. Really? I mean, how about if we just take a minute and think about what a wonderful holiday means to us, right? What if you just do a values check with yourself and just say, you know, what matters to me about this holiday? How will I know if this has been a good holiday season? When I look back in January, what will stand out to me as the special moments? And my guess is it doesn't have anything to do with that special centerpiece on your table, right? It probably has to do with a gift that you gave or an old family recipe that you whipped up for the 30th time or an experience that your family shared together. And so when you think about those things, then you can think about techniques to bring those things into your holiday so that you know that they're there. Let's say, for example, when you think about the holidays, what you love is, you know, creating garlands for your living room, right? What about creating garlands for your friends instead of going to the mall? You know, a gift from the heart is a beautiful gift, and it doesn't break the bank.
Well,
and
you bring up
a holiday that resonates with you.
You bring up something really interesting when you talk about doing for others. You have written to us that Americans who describe themselves as very happy are ones that volunteer. And you can compare that to those that don't. And you find that they're a lot happier. Talk a little bit about that, because I've been reading a lot about this lately, about how it impacts your own personal happiness serving others.
It's very true. There's some really interesting data in a study out of, you mentioned, this was a study out of Notre Dame, and they talked to people who volunteered several hours a month, and they were much more likely to describe themselves as very happy than those who didn't volunteer. And another study out of Harvard Business School found that people who gave away money to others were happier than those who did not. So what I think is going on here, it's actually, I'm going to just dive into a little brain science for a minute. I know you don't expect this on a money show, but it, believe me, I'm going somewhere. So when we acquire things, right, we get a new blouse, we get a new car, we, you know, a thing, right? Mm-hmm. It makes us very happy in the moment. But then what happens is we go into a kind of happiness reset, and having that new thing becomes part of our normal. And so it stops being a special happy thing that we notice, right? So there's this short-lived experience of pleasure with stuff. But when we give, that hits a different place in our hearts, and it's more lasting. And we feel a connection to others, and we feel a sense of the value of our place in the world. And that really stays with us.
That's really interesting. The other thing that you mentioned here is focusing on experiences rather than stuff. How would you tell somebody to focus on an experience? What would you tell them to where they would get that? The light would go off and they would say, well, oh, okay, I need to do this and not that.
Well, I think, and again, experiences can be extravagant, right? It can be a safari, or it can be a family meal, or anything in between, right? But again, it's the same kind of thing, right? Stuff will make you happy in the moment, and then the impact of that stuff on your sense of well-being starts to fade away, whereas an experience stays with you. In many ways, right? Leading up to it, you get to anticipate it and imagine what it will be like. And then you're in the moment and you get to savor it. And then when you look back, right? If you've shared it with someone, you can discuss it with them. You can hold it in your memory. Maybe you have a photo that reminds you, but it just stays with you longer.
This kind of reminds me a little bit. Our most recent Nobel Prize winner was in behavioral economics, not the normal nuts and bolts that we all like to follow, but it hits on
kind of a
soft spot for me. Maybe that's an inappropriate term, but I'm really interested in behavior, because on down the road where we work in the actual management of the money and the actual specific financial planning, I find that behavior is oftentimes way more important than amount of money, how you save money, all of the things that folks in my business normally would focus on. And so I'm interested when you tell me, when you kind of venture off here into behavior and experiences and things like that. That seems to me, I don't know what your read is, Kelly, but that seems to me to be almost a generational issue. It's going to take a long time to get people, I think, to focus on behavior and then use it to their advantage rather than it being a bit of an issue. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Millennials today are quite in touch with this whole concept, but I will tell you that I've worked with clients of all ages on these things, and I agree with you that when we can lock in behaviors that resonate with our goals, that's when we can make change. And it, as you said, it doesn't matter how big your pot of money is. If you're spending everything that comes in, who cares, right? But if you realize in your value set that what's important is time together with family, and what you want to do is create, you know, bring in all those intangibles like fresh cookies or whatever into your home that attract family so that you get those experiences around the home, right? Those are behaviors that keep you out of the mall and out of just running through your money.
Kelly, we're
How I come in, you know, with this values check, right, to help people identify what's really important to them, what gives them joy at the end of a day. And then we look at, okay, what can you do in the moment to get you to that place of joy?
Kelly, we're out of time for this segment. Can you hang with us another segment?
100%.
That is Kelly Holland. We'll be back with Kelly in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Money Sense at the Opening Bell.